Brought to you by the new Bose A20 Aviation Headset. Bose is now introducing their most advanced pilot headset ever, the new Bose A20 Aviation Headset. It provides significantly greater noise reduction than currently available, along with improved comfort, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.
Hello, I'm Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. On September 28, 2010, a Cessna 172RG was flying at 10:38 a.m. local time near Tulsa. On board, there was a CFI candidate and his instructor. They were about 4 miles from Richard Lloyd Jones Jr. Airport when their situation suddenly became life-threatening. Fire broke out inside the aircraft, and it spread quickly. We're happy today to be speaking with that flight's pilot in command, 28-year-old flight instructor Jade Shiwi. Jade, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Jade has been flying since 2000. He's accumulated about 2,500 hours. He holds a CFI, a CFII, an MEI. He has a master's in aviation business management. He's pursuing an aviation doctorate degree. He's also a coach involved with the National Intercollegiate Flying Association. Now, Jade, that paints a pretty serious picture about a guy who's into flying.
Yeah, that's me. You know, it's a passion to be a pilot. I think anybody in this industry who's been in a while can feel the same passion that, you know, us in aviation have. It's one of those industries that's just great to be around and has great people in it.
Let's get into this flight. I want you to start, if you would, give us a little bit of background before the flight. What's the day like? What's the weather like? What were you going up to do, and what were your expectations for the flight?
Yeah, I was. The day was started out just like any normal day. I had one flight prior to the one we're talking about today, so I'd already been up. The weather was great, nice sunny day, kind of a cool, crisp morning. And with this candidate, we were going to go up, and we were working on getting him prepared for a CFI check ride. So he was just getting ready to finish up. So we had some slow flights, some stalls, demonstration stalls, steep spirals to perform that day, and it was getting ready just to sign him off. He had about one or two more flights before his check ride. So we're getting him ready, did the normal brief as expected. Everything went normal.
And after you got in the air, how much time did you spend in the air completely trouble-free?
We spent about an hour and 15 minutes in the air performing various maneuvers, including one time where we did do slow flight, both clean configuration and in the landing configuration, where we did drop the gear and pulled it back up with no problems whatsoever.
Well, if you would, let's pick it up from there. What altitude did you have? Where were you exactly? And what was your mindset right before things went bad?
Well, we had been going out. We were getting ready to actually have to drop the gear again at 6,500, and we were just running out of time. The student was just struggling that day and having, you know, just one of those hard days of flying. So he was getting ready just to call it quits for the day. So I took over the flight controls, and we were at 6,500, proceeded back to Riverside Airport, which is Romeo Victor Sierra. We were about 20 miles from the field when we started back in. We started back in, everything was normal, and started down out of 6,500. Approximately 4 miles from the airport, we were at about 2,000 feet AGL, and we were getting radar vector to the north, and we're told to slow down. We were about 140 knots at the time of the vector with the gear up. As we were told to slow down to 90 knots and turn to a heading of north, we put the gear down to help slow us down. As we put the gear down, we were just about 2,000 feet AGL, and I was looking out the window to verify the gear was coming down the lock, getting ready to come back inside and verify with the lights. When I looked back inside, my student said, "We're on fire." And that moment is a very surreal feeling where you look back inside, you kind of question what you heard. And at that time, no smoke, no warning, just flames started rolling out from underneath the dash.
What happened? What were your immediate thoughts? What was your reaction right away?
My reaction immediately was just, you know, as pilots were taught over and over again, emergency procedures. I declared Mayday over the radio. I was able to get Mayday, 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 we're going down. And I continued with the conversation. ATC could not hear me. They came back with what aircraft, and I could hear that while I was still trying to transmit, and I tried to transmit again, and I had nothing. All my radios were already gone. So I proceeded immediately to try to find somewhere to land. That was my first priority, is we're on fire. I need to get this airplane down as quickly as possible. So I looked out my window, and I had just a couple choices. I had a golf course that was right off my nose that was full of people. field that was directly below me or 4 miles back to the airport. My immediate feeling was get it down as quick as possible, which was the field directly below me, and I least amount of harm to anybody else.
At this point, have you already shut off the fuel? Is this aircraft equipped with an extinguisher?
My student at the time was trying to find an extinguisher aboard. There wasn't one aboard the aircraft. I went through after I decided to make the field. I went immediately into emergency procedures, shutting off the engine, shutting off all the avionics, killing everything I could. And as my student tried to reach down and shut off the fuel where the fuel selector was, but it was already melting at that point and was unable to shut off the fuel, he realized he couldn't do much help. So he pulled his feet up and tried to keep him out of the flames, kind of set on the seat in almost a fetal position.
Where exactly are the flames and how intense are they?
The flames are, at this point, within just a couple seconds, have fully engulfed all the floor, rolling out from the dash, melting the seats, extremely intense fire. I mean, it was so intense. By the time I had that up, I had to open my door. The door was going to allow me to breathe. It was the whole inside of the airplane was full black smoke. And if you can imagine like a tire burning, that black, thick smoke that you can't breathe in, that's what the whole inside of the airplane. It was just so thick, we couldn't see the instruments. We couldn't see out the front windscreen, nothing. So there was one option: open the door, hold the door open with my foot, which would be my left foot because I'm sitting in the left seat at the time, see if I can't sit in the right seat, hold the door open with my left foot, hang my head out the window so I can see and breathe, and keep my right foot in the fire to control the airplane through the steep turns that we'd have to encounter.
At this time, are you feeling, obviously there's a lot of heat, but are you feeling it?
Yeah, it was extremely hot. I knew my leg was on fire. My shoe got so hot it started to melt to my foot, and I could feel the intense pain. Just a quick thought to go through your mind, I got to get the plastic off my foot. And so I asked my student in the middle of a turn, I said, I'm on fire. I need your help. I need to get my shoe off. He reached down. I pulled my foot back just for a few seconds, and he was able to help kick off that shoe, and I put my foot right back in the fire. I knew I had a cotton sock, which is a little harder to burn than a plastic, so I knew it would be a little safer instead of the plastic shoe melting through my foot to go back in the fire. So I put my foot right back into it, and I looked down. I knew my shin was also on fire.
And you mentioned that you're in a turn, so you're maneuvering it as this is happening.
Yeah, it was immediate, basically a 360-degree turn. We were over the field facing north. The wind's out of the north, a light breeze, about 5 to 10 knots. So we were immediately over field. So we had to do a complete 360 to get into the field, basically a power-off 180 maneuver that we have practiced so many times.
How much time is involved?
There wasn't much time. You know, when it's different if you would have an engine fire. An engine fire is on the exterior side of the firewall, which will buy you a little more time. This one being inside the firewall gives you a lot less time. So we have approximately 45 seconds to about a minute and a half for everything to be done and getting out of the airplane. So, you know, we're trying to do this as quick as possible. In this turn, it's not a nice smooth turn. You know, you can't see anything. So we're coming up on trees, power lines that we're trying to avoid to get into this small field, and unable to see him until the last minute. So you're going to have to make abrupt adjustments. And my student estimated at the time I banked up to 60 degrees to avoid the trees and the power lines that were coming up. Go ahead, sir.
Is there any reference to the instruments at all while you're doing this?
None at all. The airplane's so full of smoke, you can't see the instrument panel whatsoever.
And I'm sorry, you said the student started to say something.
Yeah, the student was just kind of keeping me informed. You know, there's a tree, there's whatever he can see, he's letting me know. You know, there's power lines coming up, there's a tree coming up, and that's the minimum conversation that we're having going through, is just what to avoid at this time. And you're flying it from feel. You're not flying at the time from what you can see, or, you know, it's all no airspeed, no turn and bank, nothing. It's how you can feel. It's what we try to develop with our students becoming commercial pilots and CFI candidates, is learning how to feel the airplane, learning how to feel when you're coordinated, learning how to feel how much bank you're in and staying in the bank, and understanding how to fly that airplane to what it's capable of flying.
So was there any semblance of an approach for this landing, or were you turning it and just getting it down?
I had in my mind what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to do a power off 180, and I knew at the end there were some trees that I was going to have to clear. So as I'm turning around, I kind of have pre-planned in my head what the power off 180 would look. As a NIFA coach, that's one of the events that we really practice, is a power off 180 and short field landings. So it's a maneuver I've done over and over and over again. And with our commercial pilots and CFI candidates, we also have to perform these maneuvers. So you learn how to feel the airplane and learn how to plan your distances and timing. So in the turn, I knew where I needed to be, how to make it, and how to get to the end result that I wanted. So I'm making the turn and coming over the trees and nosing it over for airspeed. You know, when you have to bank that much, you know you have to drop your nose so you don't stall out an airplane or create an unsafe situation. So I'm in the bank. I'm continually dropping my nose or leveling my nose off as needed to pick up where I need to be so I can make it down onto the grill, onto the ground in a safe manner.
Was there any point where you felt, I've got this, I've got the field made, I'm good?
Yeah, when I was rolling out. That's the one time that you can say, I don't think you can ever let your mind get ahead of the situation. You can always plan ahead of time and make it, but you have to fly it to the very end. And, you know, we're rolling as we roll out into the field and you almost feel safe. This is a perfect example of that aspect, is we're rolling out and we're rolling out through grass that's just over 4 feet tall, and all of a sudden here comes a fence. We think everything's going to be good. I still had a little bit of momentum, so I tried to increase back pressure and kind of bunny hop over the top of the fence. Unable to do so, I caught a gear, the right-hand gear caught in the fence, which ended up being a blessing because it brought the airplane to a stop very, very quickly, almost like a resting gear situation on a carrier or a military would use.
You had trees ahead of you at that point?
At that point, no. It was kind of like an uphill rollout. That's why I was trying to get over the fence, and it would just rolled out over the fence and up the hill and kind of slow us down. But the biggest thing is that we would have been rolling on fire.
Now, all this time, you've still got one leg out the door?
Still hanging outside the airplane, still watching out for whatever I can see and being able to breathe. That's the only way I was able to see and breathe and actually fly the airplane, was one leg out the holding the door open, body hanging out the door, and keeping my right foot in the fire and controlling the rudders as needed.
Did your student pull back away from the fire? How did he protect himself?
Yeah, my student ended up just on the seat, and he was trying to stay out of the fire, and he would do anything I asked him, but he knew he couldn't help much. He didn't want to fight the controls, didn't want to, you know, his aspect was to stay safe. So he was able to pull his feet up onto the seat, and he would only open his window to breathe because he knew if we open his window more, we can feed the fire with more oxygen. So his main concern was, hey, just stay safe. If you need something, ask.
How bad was the impact?
The initial rollout was not bad. When we hit the fence, it brought us to an abrupt stop. It pulled one of the gears off, and once that gear collapsed, we slid to a stop within 100, 150 feet. It wasn't that bad. I mean, it wasn't a solid impact. The initial impact was very good. The second impact was a little rougher than the first.
And the aircraft was, aside from the gear leg, pretty much intact? You were able to get out easily or no?
Yeah, it was. I exited immediately. My leg was still on fire at the time, so I exited immediately, put my shin out at that time that was burning. And as I turned around, I went back in to help my student get out, and we were able to get out within seconds.
You both came out the same door?
Both came out the same door. His gear had collapsed, and he couldn't open his side, his door, to get out. So he came out the pilot side door, the left door.
Well, now you're out. The airplane's burning. Does it just burn up right there in front of you? How long did it take you to have somebody come and help you with your burns?
There was a helicopter in the area that kind of flew over right after we declared Mayday, and there was a big smoke plume up in the air. And so they were able to fly over the top of us and see us. By the time we had to hurry, walk, jog, fast, whatever you want to call it, to a road that was about 40 yards away from the airplane. By the time we made it to that road, both tanks on the airplane blew. That's how fast it went up. And we sat there for another probably 20 or 30 minutes waiting for the ambulance and fire trucks.
At that time, were you taking inventory of yourself? Your leg, obviously, it's been burned. Your foot was literally in the fire along with your lower right leg. Did you suffer any other injuries through the impact with the fence? Was the student okay?
Student was okay. The student either hit his nose either on the door or the dash, just kind of being curled up. He didn't have much to stop him. He had a small broken nose. I, being hanging out of the airplane, I still had all my seatbelts and everything on, so I kind of bent around the seatbelts, which caused some lower back pain, which I ended up slipping a disc in my lower back also. But when I was walking to the road after we exited the aircraft, I was walking through briar patches and weeds without a shoe on the one foot because it had melted in the fire. So I was very aware of having burns on my foot and my shin. And when we got to there was a little house on that road. We kind of just sat in the lawn and looked at it and just grateful to be alive and be able to, just that was very minimum compared to what we knew could have happened.
It's unbelievable. And when you got to medical care, what did you find out about your burns?
I had second and third degree burns on my shin and also my big toe. My big toe got so hot it popped. And so they had to kind of shave the outside of that. And I had the slip disc, which I've had a couple injections since then. I just got cleared to fly on Tuesday, which has given me the ability and, you know, to start looking forward to getting back in the airplane and doing what's necessary to get back up in the air, getting current.
Well, and I guess that brings us almost full circle. You're a teacher by trade. What is it that the rest of us can learn from your experience, do you think, looking back?
Well, looking back, I think the biggest thing is having your mind made up. Years ago, when I was going to school to be a pilot, I worked at an FBO here in Tulsa, and a pipeline pilot at the time that I knew very well that would go out of there frequently came back one day on an airliner, and I kind of knew something was wrong. And as we're coming back, he had told me that he had just had an in-flight fire where his engine had caught fire and was melting the motor mounts, and his motor mounts, if he didn't put it down as quickly as he did, would have caused the CG of the aircraft to be abrupt and he would have stalled and spun it into the ground. He had told me at that time the best thing I ever did was put it down on the ground safely as quick as possible. And so at that time in my mind, I said, hey, you know what? If anything ever happens in an emergency situation, I'm not going to worry about anything else but getting the airplane on the ground safely. So I had my mind made up. And I think the biggest lesson we can teach our students going forward is in that situation, you don't have time to second guess yourself. You don't have time to hope or wish or think of something different. You have to have your mind made up in a scenario. What happens? What am I going to do? So as we do this, you know, kind of this transition in aviation to the scenario-based training, the more realistic we can be, the better off we train our students to be prepared, run them through the emergency situations as realistic as possible, the better off they're going to be so they're not second guessing themselves. You know, if I was talking to the FAA examiner, he said if I had tried to extend that aircraft to the airport, that the pulleys that control all the control surfaces can get hot and explode or seize up. That happened here in Tulsa about a year and a half ago where someone had an in-flight fire in a different type of aircraft where they thought they could make the airport, and about a mile and a half from the airport, they actually succumbed where they could not control and actually stalled and spun it into the ground. So you never know what's going to change your perception. You never know what's going to change your reality. And you never know when that 1% of this actually happening to you is going to fall on your number. You know, it's a very, very minimum risk in aviation to fly, but you never know when that 1% is you. So having that scenario set up as best as possible so the outcome can be the best as possible, I think, is the key essential whenever we're flying.
Looking back, what do you think would have happened if you'd been just a couple thousand feet higher or forced to be in the air for one reason or another for another minute longer?
We wouldn't have made it. It's simple as that. If we were in, try to make it to the airport, we wouldn't have made it. If we were 2,000 feet higher, we wouldn't have made it. I mean, you could try to develop a scenario to get it down even quicker. We try to put down the flaps wouldn't even come down. I mean, it burned up all the electronics and everything behind the dash quickly to where we had no option.
We've been speaking today with Jade Shiwi, 28-year-old instructor pilot. Jade, I'm glad you're okay. I wish you a speedy recovery with your remaining back issue. Thank you sincerely for taking time to talk with us today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, and I hope some people learn from the experience.
Well, we're going to have a link to the factual report that the NTSB has up. That's all the NTSB has up right now. They can find out some information about potential causes of this accident there at avweb.com. This has been Glenn Pugh for avweb.com. Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by the new Bose A20 aviation headset, Bose is now introducing their most advanced pilot headset ever, the new Bose A20 aviation headset. It provides significantly greater noise reduction than currently available, along with improved comfort, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.